7 past the hour of 4 o'clock. A very good afternoon to you. Of course, you are now tuned into the crossover. Sounds of Phil Collins, All My Life. Ooh, nothing beats a song with the saxophone, guys. I don't know if it is just me, or you also get the drill when it comes to a track that has a saxophone in it. It can be in the background of the song, or just like how it is in this one. It is the first Sunday in the month of October, the 10th month in the year 2025. Like we have all observed, well, the year, it seems to be flying somewhere. I don't know where to, but because we just started the year not so long ago and already we are in the 10th month, not even halfway through, but the 10th month. So that means only 2 more months to go. For the year 2025 to come to an end. Yes. So good afternoon to you. I am your host, Abigail, as usual, every Sundays from the hour of 4 to the hour of 6. And, you are now tuned to the crossover, a show where we have, you know, topics that helps us to prep for the upcoming week, to encourage us for the upcoming week. And also just to make sure that we are prepared mentally, emotionally, psychologically, unfortunately not financially, because we do not, we do not give money here to prepare you guys, for the upcoming week financially. But yeah, this is the show. And if you are tuning in for the first time, you are welcome as well. You are welcome to the crossover family. So this weekend was a very busy weekend, like a very, very busy. I'm sure we have all seen on the socials, what was happening this weekend. So many events yesterday, Saturday, like so many events. And I also happened to go to one of the events that took place yesterday, which was the Whiskey Festival. Yes. I happened to go to the Whiskey Festival last night, and it was a very lovely experience for somebody who has never gone to such an event. I know they usually happen here in the city. You know, you get wine tasting events and then whiskey tasting events as well, but I've just never happened to go to anyone. But yesterday for the first time, I attended one, and it was a lovely experience, to be honest. And I've made a decision that now moving forward, these are the type of things I'd really like to, you know, to go to, because it is an experience. It is an experience, and it's very lovely. We had a competition that was running here on our radio. Lucky winners won themselves tickets to the whiskey festival. So yeah, I'm encouraging you as well. Next time when we have such a competition, do take part. You never know, you might win and go have an experience, because it is a very lovely experience. It's just not about drinking different types of whiskeys or wines. It's also, you know, the lessons, because they explain to you the type of whiskey you are about to taste. They even ask you questions. So when you smell it, what are you smelling? When you are tasting it, what are your palates picking up from the whiskey? So yes, guys, it was a very, very lovely thing to attend to. And, I have made a vow that I will continue doing so moving forward. Yeah. So 11 past 4, today we have a very lovely conversation on the crossover. It is something that I experienced last week, and I was like, okay, let's go talk about it on the radio. If I am experiencing it, best believe that somebody else is also experiencing it or has experienced it. So let's go talk about it. Let's see how we can, you know, resolve if we ever find ourselves in this particular situation. At least let's have a clue on how to move past it, on how to resolve it. So before we get to the conversation, and also we have a lovely guest who will be joining us in today's conversation. So before we get into the conversation for today, just allow me to promote our streaming services, right? This is something that I always mention every Sundays when I come and sit behind the mic. I let you guys know that we are a business and I expect you guys to, you know, purchase a service or two or more, and also, you know, pass the services to the next person, because you never know who might require this particular service that we do offer here as a business. And hence why I always come and, you know, mention it. Oh, excuse me. I was attacked by a sneeze. Yeah, so this is why I always come and inform you guys about the services that we do offer as a business, because the most powerful form of advertising is the word of mouth advertising. In advertising, people believe that, you know, an advert goes a long way when it's passed on from person to person. And this is also my expectations from you guys as listeners, that if somebody has to ask you, okay, I have this event that I want to, you know, broadcast to an audience, how do I go about that? And if somebody listens to the radio and they know that we do offer streaming services, wherever you are, a team will come to you and make sure that your event gets to the audience you want it to get to. You see, that is word of mouth. And then a customer might be next to you. Our customer might be next to you. So we do offer streaming services. We have something that I like to call the studio on the wheels. So it's basically a van that is equipped with everything. So what this means is that wherever you are, whether it's outside the borders of Namibia, as long as you request for this particular service, best believe me that there is a team that will come to you and come make sure that your event or your message gets to the audience you'd like it to get to. And how does that happen? So your message is streamed live on our social media platforms as well as right here on air. Yes, it gets streamed right here on air. If you want your event to be streamed in the 2 hours of the crossover on Sunday, best believe that it is going to be streamed and the crossover will not take place. So that is one of the many services that we offer right here. And for that particular service, you do not hesitate to contact us if you know that you have a message that you'd like to send to an audience. We are your go-to team. We will make sure that the message goes to the right audience. So it is now 16 past the hour of 4 o'clock. Like I say, that it is the first Sunday in the month of October, a very important month. Yes. Allow me to also just wish happy birthday to everyone who is born today on the 5th of October. I hope you enjoy your day. Remember that it only comes once in a year, so do make sure that you enjoy it to the fullest. So I'm gonna welcome you officially with the sounds of Mary J. Blige, Be Without You. And on the other side, we will get into today's conversation before we get hold of our guest for today and dive deeper into the conversation. Without any time wasting, here is Mary J. Blige, Be Without You. I'll see you on the other side. Oh,
ago, neither one of us knew why. We didn't build nothing overnight, cause a love like this takes some time. People swore it off as a phase, said we can't see that. Now from top to bottom, they see that we did that. Yes, it's so true that, yes, we've been through it. Yes, we got real. Yes, see baby, we've been too strong for too long.
And I can't be without you, baby.
It is Sounds of Mary J. Blige, Be Without You. Well, allow me to send this one to all the lovers listening to me right about now. As we all know that Sundays are for lovers. So we always, always appreciate them, for tuning in on a Sunday when they are supposed to be, you know, focusing on other things. Okay, they could be that they are focused on other things, but they just don't forget us, right? Hence, I always send a shout out to the lovers. Sundays are dedicated to the lovers. So today we are talking about avoiding last minute things. If you are a last minute person, please pay attention to why you should start avoiding last minute things. That is the conversation for today. Do you always find yourself racing against the clock? Like every time you are just racing against the clock. Are deadlines a source of crippling stress? That when you are having a deadline, you are under immense stress. Okay. So if these two questions are relatable to you, if you often find yourself racing against the clock or the time, or deadlines are a source of crippling stress, if these two questions are relatable to you, I need you to pay attention to this conversation today. because we are going to converse on how you can avoid last minute things. I know a lot of people give excuses when it comes to last minute things, and it's amazing to listen to. Yes, it's really amazing to listen to. I am one person who cannot survive doing last minute things. So last week when I had experience doing last minute things, I was like, hell no, I need to talk about this, you know, just to encourage my listeners or any other person out there, you know, to avoid last minute things, because they are honestly not good for you at all. Not good for you at all. If anything, doing last minute things just brings so much stress on you, brings so much anxiety to you. Now, if I have to ask you, is that a good space to live in as a person? You know, continuously having stress, continuously having anxiety, when you can avoid having anxiety as well as stress by avoiding to do things last minute. So this is the conversation for today. Before I get to our guest, I'll just like us to touch on what does it mean to do things last minute? Because there could be somebody out there who actually does things last minute, but then they don't think they are doing things last minute, or they are unaware of the fact that they are doing things last minute. So in simple term, you know, doing things at the last minute means taking action or completing a task at the latest possible moment or opportunity before a deadline or event. It is often synonymous with terms like the 11th hour or in the nick of time, right? So this behavior is typically associated with procrastination, which is the act of delaying or putting off tasks despite knowing the negative consequences. So in a nutshell, we can associate this behavior of doing last minute things with procrastination. And we have spoken so many times, I think I have lost count on how many times we have spoken about procrastination right here on the crossover. Why we need to avoid it, why we need to stay away from procrastinating. Yeah, it's one of those words that makes your tongue twist in the mouth. So it ends up coming out the wrong way sometimes, or in most cases. So now we are having, or we are getting an understanding that when you do last minute things every time, right, that could mean that you are a procrastinator. You just like to push things. You know very well that something, the deadline is tomorrow. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock in the evening, you know very well, but you just keep pushing it instead of working on it, get done with it and get it out of your way. But you just keep pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. By the time you start working on that particular task, it's like 3 p.m. and you're supposed to, you know, hand it over, or you're supposed to, upload, submit at 5 p.m. exactly. And you start working on it at 3 p.m. What do you think is going to happen? A lot of things. There are a lot of consequences that comes with this type of behavior, like putting off tasks while you know very well that these tasks need to be done and out of my way. It often comes with negative consequences, or all the time, this type of behavior brings upon negative consequences, right? So in a nutshell, this is what it means to do last minute things. You know very well you are supposed to do this thing, or you know very well you're supposed to complete this thing, but every time you're like, no, I will do it later, I will do it later, I will do it later, and then you find yourself in a position where you are now behind time. You are now under stress. You are now under anxiety. And obviously, best believe me, there are going to be negative consequences for those type of action. So there are causes and common consequences when it comes to this type of behavior of doing last minute things. You know, the mindset and causes of this type of behavior is that procrastination plays a huge role when it comes to you doing last minute things as an individual. And it's often rooted in a failure of self-regulation, where short-term mood relief, for example, by avoiding a task, is prioritized over long-term success. So one thing we need to realize is that, you know, when you push something, something you know very well that you are supposed to do in that moment, but you push it like, I will do it 2 hours from now, or I will do it tomorrow because I still have a day or two to complete the task or for the deadline to, you know, show up on my doorstep. It often brings some sort of mood relief when you tell yourself that I will do this thing later. Right? There is a short-term mood relief that comes with that action of avoiding a task. So it is a major problem. Procrastination is a major problem, and we are now hearing that it plays a bigger role in you and I, you know, deciding to do things last minute. Right? Some individuals believe they are active procrastinators. So when we talk about active procrastinators, we talk about people who perform optimally when the adrenaline of an impending deadline kicks in. So while the pressure can provide a temporary focus boost, it is often a dangerous delusion that sacrifices quality and well-being. And we can all agree that it could be that it is there, right? A belief in working better under pressure. There are people who, like I said, justify, you know, their behavior of doing last minute things because they believe in working better under pressure. Honestly, if you are that type of a person, please pay attention to the conversation. It is a very dangerous delusion to have or to keep telling yourself. Because as much as you can perform optimally when you have a deadline that is about to kick in, believe me, one day is going to be one day. One day is going to be one day. And I think in life, they say that we all need lessons because we become better from learning. Or we become better people through lessons. So one day is going to be one day you are going to understand why we have these type of conversations of avoiding last minute things. As much as you can perform well under pressure, just remember that this is a dangerous delusion. And always when you behave in this manner or when you reason in this manner, you actually sacrifice quality as well as well-being. So other people, you know, may overestimate the time they have left or underestimate how long a task will truly take. And this leads them to delay starting. And when you delay a task, it can be a defense mechanism. So if you wait until the last minute and the result is poor, the blame can be shifted to the lack of time rather than a lack of ability. And often we do this thing. Right? If you know very well that the result is poor of whatever you are doing, instead of actually just taking accountability that I didn't start when I was supposed to start, instead you will say things like, no, I just didn't have much time. The time was not enough. But why was the time not enough? It's because you kept on pushing the task until it was last minute, and then you decided to do it at last minute. And also sometimes, it's a lack of motivation or interest that leads people to doing last minute things. You know, unpleasant or boring tasks are more likely to be avoided until absolutely necessary. So this is another, you know, cause of always doing last minute things, especially if you have to do something that you know is boring to you or it's unpleasant. I think one of the most boring things for me that I could give as an example is studying. Man, yere Jesus. You know, reading for me is just boring, to be honest. I have tried it. I don't care what anybody is going to say. I have tried it, to be honest. To read novels, to read whatsoever. The only thing that I can read in this moment is newspapers or magazines. Those ones I will read, to be honest. But if you have to give me a book, an academic book, it's boring. Give me a novel or whatsoever. I'm just going to find it boring. And it is something that I have acknowledged and accepted that it's just not for me. So if you feel that something is unpleasant or it bores you, you are likely not to do it. You are likely to avoid it, you know, because you lack motivation or interest to do it. So it is also a cause of why we find ourselves doing last minute things. So allow me to go collect our guest for today so we can get in the conversation. It is 27 minutes to the hour of 5. And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The Crossover right here on your number one talk radio station. That is with me, Abigail, until the hour of 6. Here is Whitney Houston on a song that is titled Exhale.
In love sometimes it's wrong, and sometimes it's right. For every win, someone must fail. But there comes a point when we exhale, yeah, yeah. Say
shoot, 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 shoot,
shoot. All you gotta do is say
shoot, shoot.
You cry. Life never tells us the winds are wise. When you've got friends to wish you well, you'll find a point when you will exhale. Yeah, yeah. Say
shoot, shoot, shoot.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Indeed, it is Eagle FM, the eye. 22 minutes to the hour of 5 o'clock. And now joining me is our guest for today. Like I usually do on the crossover, I do not introduce the guest because I feel like I never do justice in introducing the guest. So I give the guest the opportunity to introduce themselves to you. Let me just welcome him. Hello.
Hello, Abigail. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good.
If you can just introduce yourself, who you are, what do you do?
All right, perfect. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Calvin Itungi. I am a junior researcher for the Namibia University of Science and Technology, currently specializing in mechanical engineering.
Uh-huh, lovely. You see, this is why I let people introduce themselves, you know, so that they can put in the VUMA, because I was not going to do that the way you just did it. So you are welcome on the crossover.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we hope this is not the last time you join us on the crossover.
No, indeed, it's the first of many.
Yeah. So we are speaking about avoiding last-minute things, right? Mm. Last week I had an experience. I am one who does not like to do last-minute things. So last week I experienced a last minute thing, even though it was not my fault really. I just happened to find myself in a situation where, something was being done last minute and I didn't like that. So I was like, okay, how about a conversation on avoiding last minute things? You know, because if I experienced it and I didn't like it, or I already don't like it, how many more people out there are struggling to avoid last minute things? So now getting into the conversation, Calvin, what are some of the most common reasons you think people have important tasks? I mean, people leave important tasks until the last minute.
I'll actually just start off by saying procrastination is almost something everybody struggles with. Not because we're lazy, but because we're human.
Mm.
Often our emotions, not our ability that get in the way. I believe once we understand why we delay things,
mm-hmm.
we can actually start managing time in a more mindful, sustainable way.
Mm-hmm.
So to dive down into your question, it's mostly because of fear. Sometimes people are a bit overwhelmed and they have a sense of perfectionism, if I could say.
Mm-hmm.
We put things off to avoid discomfort and boredom. You know, like if I am in a situation whereby, this task right now, I need to complete it right away.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's too much, or I feel like I have plenty of time. I'm like, I can just, I can do it tomorrow, the day after that. We just have that mindset in ourselves. And sometimes we just misjudge how long the task will take because we just analyze it immediately and not actually see the broader picture.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it's a lack of discipline, or is there a deeper psychological cause? Like you mentioned that we are humans and procrastination seems to be part of us. So do
actually,
you think it's a lack of discipline, or it is deeper?
It's actually deeper.
Mm.
Procrastination is usually about managing emotions, not discipline. We avoid tasks to escape stress, anxiety. I would also say fear, the fear of failure. To be specific,
mm-hmm.
once we deal with those type of feelings, it's easier to start, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would actually put it more on a thing of like how we manage our emotions per se. That is actually one of the things.
So yeah. You wouldn't say it's a lack of discipline?
No, I wouldn't say it's a lack of discipline. It's more of a thing of how we manage our emotions, because genuinely I believe it's a thing in our mind where we say that because of the way I'm feeling right now,
mm-hmm.
I can choose not to do a certain task and I can just prolong it. Like if I'm not in the mood right now to study, I can study tomorrow. If I'm not in the mood to do grocery shopping or clean up about myself, I can do it later. You see, so it's more of how we are in the emotional state. You know, if you're in a very happy and jolly mood, certain yeah. things tend to become easier. So you just put yourself in the position. However, if you are not actually, you know, in that emotional state per se, you tend to just start pushing things away, you know?
Yeah.
Just until you don't want to step out of your comfort zone. It's more of a thing of when we want to be in our comfort zone. If we're discomforted, we tend to avoid things that could be strenuous.
Uh-huh. Many people say they work better under pressure. And I think this is a line we have all heard, probably even said at some point in our lives. Is that a productive habit or is it just a story we tell ourselves to justify procrastination?
I can agree with you on that one, that we tell ourselves that I work yes. better under pressure. I mean, I personally have used that line throughout my studies that, I'm better under pressure, you know.
Yeah.
But not really. Pressure genuinely, yes, it does give us an adrenaline or we feel like we're more focused.
Mm-hmm.
But based off some research, and after I actually did some research on this, I realized that it's actually true what they said. It often leads to lower quality work and more
mm-hmm.
stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, per se, the last minute thing, you all of a sudden feel like your mind is working at overdrive. Everything is just flowing.
Mm-hmm.
The pen is writing, the laptop, the report is being typed and so forth. However, we tend to forget the quality in the work we're putting in. You know, although mm-hmm. things are flowing, do they give the impact they were supposed to?
Yeah.
We tend to forget that the reason we have so much time is to go in depth, you know, put mm-hmm. a sense, there's a sense of quality in the work we're supposed to give. However, you know, in the last minute, that thing, I work under pressure type of mindset, we tend to feel like, yes, we're doing a lot, but if you actually go in depth with what we've done, it's not really of the highest quality. So I would genuinely say it's a thing of, yes, you will have the adrenaline rush. However, the quality of the work might not be of the highest.
Yeah.
It's more like, it's really just something we tell ourselves to justify that we are really in it. However, it's not.
Yeah.
Really.
It's just a justification term, to be honest. Okay. If I tell you a little story that I like to share when it comes to, you know, avoiding to do last minute things. In my university days at some point, okay, I think from the beginning I was like, you know, a good hands-on student. I would do things on time. I would avoid doing last minute things. And then at some point, I don't know what happened, I became this person who would do last minute things, you know. When an assignment is due, you are literally working on the assignment, looking at the timer, counting down, you know. And then I started realizing that the outcome of that particular mindset or actions, it was not good. The marks were not giving at all. And then I had to, you know, okay, we can't say it's lack of discipline. So I don't know if I say I had to discipline myself here, it would make sense. But yes, I had to get a place where I told myself, look, this thing of you work better under pressure, it's actually bringing out, quantity results, and we want quality results, right? So how about we just stop doing this thing? And I actually stopped, to be honest. You know, those things of you have a test tomorrow and you only start studying today and the whole night, so you don't even sleep, just to go write the test the next day. I stopped doing those things and I realized that I started doing much, much better. you know, if I know I have a test next week, I already start, you know, dividing sections to prepare on as the week goes. So by the time the test comes, I have done so much. So that is my little story when it comes to this work better under pressure. It never worked for me. And up until now, I've realized that it still does not work for me.
I agree with you on that one. Because it's also a thing of, you have to look at, like, I think when we look at these, we also have to understand that there are certain things you really need to prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have to look at that certain tasks or certain items have to have a sense of priority as to others. Because now when you set them apart for the last minute, you don't actually realize the level of importance that task was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's honestly just, I would look at it of more of a thing of like priorities. Like you said, at some point you realize that it's not working for you. So then you realize I'd rather prioritize
mm-hmm.
my work rather than just saying I can do it later. And
yeah.
it started working out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, your point of view actually brings us to the next point,
mm-hmm.
Which is, in your own opinion, how important is it to break down large tasks?
I think it's very important. Mm. You know, big goals tend to overwhelm us, but like the small steps create progress and confidence. Instead of having the mindset of, I need to finish, I needed to get it done, you know,
mm-hmm.
why don't you break it down into, you know, the doable tasks? Like if you have a big project, I'll use this example because it's the most practical. When you have a big project, mm-hmm. the best way to start is to plan. You plan ahead. So what do you do when you're planning? Start breaking it down. You have to understand what are deliverables, what are the goals, what are certain things expected by certain times. You have deadlines and so forth. So to make it easier than yourself, rather than just rushing straight into it, you start with, okay, how about I give the example of maybe I'm writing a school report.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than saying I'm going to write the entire report, because not everything is going to come to you immediately. You could always start with, I could do the introduction today,
mm-hmm.
do the background tomorrow, get most of the information for the body in the weekend. I can do the conclusion by the day after I get all that information for the background and for the body. And then I would have my recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, while you're busy doing your research for just the other parts, something could also come up for a different topic, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm doing my background, I could also find something I could put in the introduction or something I could put in the conclusion. You see, you've made it easier for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than me just rushing into the report and saying, okay, I'm going to write everything.
Exactly.
Introduction, body, conclusion. Because there are certain things you could miss. Because you chose to do it immediately rather than breaking it down for the long run. You know, we don't always look. Yes, of course, we want to get to the finish line the fastest way,
mm-hmm.
but is the fastest way the best way per se? You know,
yeah.
Sometimes it is, but in certain scenarios, you also have to look at it as, is this the best way I could have done it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Take different approaches, I would say. So, my advice to people who look at how important breaking down large tasks would be, break it down into smaller tasks, more manageable tasks. It makes it easier for yourself, and overall, it helps improve efficiency throughout your work.
Yeah. So what is your advice for managing the urgent versus important dilemma? Because you'll find that there are some of us, honestly speaking, who can't manage urgency and important, right? So what is your advice when it comes to managing the urgent versus important?
Well, for me, there is a specific way I look at it. I say that what's urgent is always important and it's always a priority.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I look at what is the most urgent. It needs to be done right now. So if it needs to be done right now, it goes top to my list. I always have, I would say, if I have a very busy day where I have a lot to do,
mm.
I always start with, what are the three most crucial things I need to get done today? Without these three, I am in a big dilemma.
Yeah.
And I list them that way. Okay, once I have those three, I look at the next one. I'm like, okay, get these done. Once those are done, then I start looking at other things. So it's more of a thing of, you look at, like I said again, priorities. You have to prioritize what's important,
mm.
you know? You don't have to do everything at once. You can break it down and finish the important parts. And then if you see that there's still time or you still have the opportunity, you can then go back to other tasks, you know.
Mm.
It helps also genuinely avoid issues or crises in the process,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you more time. I would advise maybe plan ahead to avoid certain scenarios, you know. It's great to plan ahead for such situations. If you can't plan ahead, I would always say prioritize what you see is the most important rather than just rushing into everything.
Mm. You know? So how do you prioritize the things that matter before they become emergencies?
Like I said, like I'll give a scenario of, say for instance, I have a very busy day.
Yeah.
The first thing I will look at is, what are the three, like I said, what are the three most important things? These are the things I really have to prioritize. You know, I would get them done. Once they are done, then I can move to my other tasks, because I genuinely feel like if I just decide to go about it based off how I got it,
mm-hmm.
you know, imagine right now you have, maybe you have an interview for a job, and then again, you also have grocery shopping, and then you quickly just have to go maybe to the gym or so forth. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, if I decide, okay, I'm going to go to the gym, and then I'm going to do grocery shopping, and then I'm going to prepare for the interview.
Mm.
Does that look like somebody, like, you see what I mean? Like, certain things take priority over others.
Yeah.
Of course, like an interview for a job would take priority over other things. So it's more of a thing of, you look at what are the most crucial things going about your day, and then you make them the top priority of your day. Once they are like completed, then you can squeeze in time for other items.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it from my side.
Yeah. We all know that it's very easy to start strong, but it's actually very hard to stick with a new habit, right? What is your best advice for maintaining momentum and preventing a relapse into last minute chaos? Let me give an example, of the story that I shared with you, that mm-hmm. I realized, last minute was not working for me. And then I started a habit of doing things on time. Luckily I haven't relapsed ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I have relapsed, maybe it's just one time and then I don't even recall, but I haven't relapsed ever since I started a new habit of avoiding last minute things. What's your best advice, you know, for maintaining a new habit, you know, and preventing a relapse into last minute chaos?
I would say focus small, like become consistent, you know. The best way for somebody to get into a new habit is, you know, just integrate it into your everyday. Instead of making it something big or trying to make an effort, just start small. So for instance, like how you said, you know, you realized, doing last minute things wasn't working for you. So you started doing it. I don't think you immediately just changed. It integrated into your day about. So you just started small by small, you know, small by small.
Yeah.
And something that I would say, I believe it's something that is built in humans. The small things you start doing consistently, you know, consistency is a very key factor. When you start consistently doing something,
yes,
it just naturally becomes part of you,
mm-hmm.
as per se. You know, that consistent action or that consistent motion, it just genuinely becomes part of your day to day, and you won't even realize it, but now it's a habit as per se, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you're doing this, when you want to stick to a new habit, just try to, you know, be consistent. You don't have to be big about it. You can just start small and build from there. And if you slip up, just start again. But consistency will always beat perfection.
Yeah.
That's something I always, consistent will always beat perfection. If you're consistent with your work, it doesn't have to be perfect, but if it's consistent, you know,
mm-hmm.
if it's consistent, the results will show.
I love the fact that you mentioned the word consistent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because one thing about life is that when you come up with something new or when you make a decision, as long as you are not consistent with that decision, then it will never go anywhere. So what should a listener do when they have tried to plan ahead? Like you have mentioned, that planning ahead is very important. but then they still find themselves getting derailed or getting distracted. What should they do?
So, I'll say first, don't panic. Of course, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, panic, if you start panicking, things will go south and you don't know what to do. And then also look at it that when you plan something, you know that planning is actually just like a guiding mechanism for yourself. Yeah. You don't have to fix yourself exactly to the plan. So you could look at it, if you see that what you planned didn't work, you know, you had certain things scheduled or you had certain expectations. I mean, in a perfect world, everything would plan would go the way it is. But because we're not in a perfect world, I think everybody has experienced when plans have gone, I would use the term south.
Definitely.
So the best way to look at it, break it down. Like I said earlier, break down your things. So you look at what went wrong. Once you find the root cause of where things go wrong, adjust. And when I say adjust, this is something that I can say everybody has. You need to have that ability to quickly adapt. Mm-hmm. I think adaptability is something that most people have, and it's a good feature to have, because once you're in a situation, that's one of the key factors that can help you get out of a problem, you know?
Yeah.
Once you adjust, adapt, or you adapt to a certain scenario, okay, no. I was supposed to maybe deliver something, but then now maybe the car that was supposed to pick me up didn't come, or no, I had something scheduled to be delivered, but then I wasn't available at the time.
Mm.
It's now your ability to adapt. Okay, the car that was supposed to pick me up didn't come. What am I going to do? Find other means of transportation. You see, you quickly adapted. Instead of just sitting there and being like, what am I going to do? You adapt. I believe adapt is the key term for this, you know?
Mm.
Build in also try to add like time, you know? I would say whenever scheduling plans, always have some like room, like some extra time in case things set back, you know? Life's very unpredictable. You never know what can happen. Like, don't always plan to the exact time. I would always say, if you're going to have a planned schedule, always have like 10 to 15 minutes of extra time. Like, if you're going to say, no, I need to be at a specific place at a certain time, always add like an extra 10 to 15 minutes, because you never know.
Yeah.
Say, for instance, right now you're supposed to be at work at 7:30 and you usually leave the house at 7. What happens that day if traffic is really unbearable or there's an accident and there's a delay?
Mm.
You know, if you maybe add, like, you decide that, no, I'm going to add an extra 15 minutes in case anything happens, you know, you know that even if something goes south, you still
you're
have
still
that
safe. Room.
You know, you're still safe. Yes, you're still safe. You know, because I always say it's better to be early than it is to be late. You know, I wouldn't mind, even if you are there 30 minutes early, or you know, an hour early, it's better than you coming late, because I believe the most valuable thing that everybody has that you can't get back is time.
Yeah.
So I would say if your plans are derailed, just, you know, step back, adjust, leave a bit of room, or like a bit of room for time, so that you know you can plan ahead or you can quickly change it.
Hmm.
Am I getting to you with that one?
So if you have derailed, you know, you have found yourself that you have derailed, how do you forgive yourself and get back on track without giving up?
I would say yes, like you said, you have to, you know, self-forgiveness is not easy.
Hmm.
I mean, the guilt can like stay with you for a bit of time. But remember that we're all human.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say it again. We're all human. Everybody slips up once in a while. I mean, we're not perfect. You know, what matters is, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to accept that? No, I messed up and I just have to blame myself. No. What matters is what you do next. You take one small action right away. So when I say that, I mean, okay, say for instance, maybe you broke something.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? You're just going to leave it as is? No. It happens. It's life. What you do next decides the total outcome. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to sit and mope, then that's what you're going to expect. But if you're going to try to do something and change it, it's all about how you approach the situation. This is why I said it at the beginning, like, you know, emotion plays a very critical role in some certain aspects, especially like in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to say that, no, it's my fault. What can I do? What? You know, you are giving a very negative emotion. But if you go with a mindset of, okay, it happened. Am I just going to leave it as is? Or am I going to change something about it? You see, mm-hmm. Now you're taking the next step on fixing it. You know, you're building a momentum. You're trying to rebuild. You know, I believe confidence. Have confidence that you can get it done, as mm-hmm. per se. You know, you don't always have to beat yourself down. I mean, toot your horn a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, confidence also plays a very key role in this.
And I know a lot of us struggle to forgive ourselves when we flop. Too much. Yeah. So it's important that we learn to forgive ourselves every time we find ourselves, falling down, or just maybe we didn't meet our target, or the plan didn't play out as we planned. Let's learn to forgive ourselves. And any last words you'd like to leave us with in regards to avoiding last-minute tasks?
I would just like to say, if you're struggling with, like, last-minute chaos, just remember, progress doesn't come from being perfect. Mm-hmm. It comes from starting small and starting now. Forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Take one simple step forward. Keep building from there. You know, productivity, honestly, isn't always about doing more. But it's about doing what matters in a calm and a consistent way.
Can you please say the last part again? Productivity is not?
Productivity isn't about doing more.
Uh-huh.
It's more about doing what matters in a very calm and consistent way.
Wow.
It's what I reiterated throughout. Consistency, calmness,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What matters, priorities, as per se.
Those are very powerful words. And thank you so much for joining us on The Crossover this beautiful Sunday. I hope we did not interrupt your, you know, Sunday's lovers session. I forgot to ask before you came on air that did we interrupt the Sunday lovers session? Because we all know that Sundays are for lovers, colleagues.
No. Didn't interrupt anything. Yes, it's slow jam Sunday, you know. And as we do say, Sundays are for lovers. But no. I was actually quite thrilled that you had me on your show, and I honestly enjoyed this.
Yeah, so
I thank you so much for having me.
I will definitely invite you soon again.
Thank you. Indeed, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So any Sunday song you'd like to leave us with?
Since, you know, we're saying it is Slow Jam Sunday.
Yes.
What would you say is a very good song? I want to take it back, like, you know, take it back.
Take it back and tell me, what should I play?
There's one song I used to listen to back in the day. Yes. Why don't we play, you know, my generation, I know a few of them know it, although I'm part of the new Gen Z generation.
Yeah.
Why don't we play Unthinkable by Alicia Keys?
Unthinkable. Well, that's a nice choice. That's a nice choice.
This is Slow Jam Sunday, I would say, and it's also a day for lovers, you know, Sunday for lovers. I would say that's a great category.
So you are dedicating this one to the lovers out there?
Yeah, this one I'm dedicating it to the lovers out there, you know?
Well, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you.
Have a lovely Sunday.
All right. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye.
And of course, as requested by our guest for today, here is Alicia Keys' Unthinkable, 6:05.
Moment of honesty, someone's gotta take the lead tonight. Who's it gonna be? I'm gonna sit right here and tell you all that comes to me. And if you have something to say, you should say it right now. Feeling that I never felt before.
are now listening to The Crossover with Abigail. Sundays are from the hour of 4 to the hour of 6 on The Crossover with me, Abigail, a show where we dive into timely topics that shape our lives every Sunday when we start off the new week. You are now listening to The Crossover with Abigail.
Love is magical. That's how I feel, but I have not the words here to explain. Gone is the grace for expressions of passion, but there are worlds and worlds of ways to explain, to tell you how I feel. but I am speechless, speechless. That's how you make me feel. Though I'm with you, I am far away, and nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel. So silently I pray. Helpless and hopeless, that's how I feel inside. Nothing's real, but all is possible if God is on my side. When I'm with you, I'm in the light. When I cannot be found, is that with you, I'm far away, and nothing is for real. I go anywhere, can do anything, just keep the place. There's no mountain high I cannot climb. I'm humbled in your grace.
Speechless, speechless.
Presence, I am lost for words, words like I love you.
It is Michael Jackson on this one titled The Speechless, bringing us to 17 past the hour of 5 o'clock. You are listening to The Crossover, and today's conversation is avoiding last minute things, right? So I want us to go into this new week with the mindset of not doing things last minute. Mm-mm. Let's not do that. If you are somebody who likes to do things last minute, and I hope you are listening to this conversation, well, my hope is that you will go into the new week, and of course, moving forward into the other weeks, with not doing things last minute, because it is not good for you, right? Even though there are, you know, causes that leads to us as people to do things last minute, and these things are procrastination, you know, a belief of working better under pressure. I know a lot of us, we use this statement often. If we haven't used it once or twice in our lives, we do use it very often that, no, I don't do things. I don't get the motivation to do things. If I know there's still time, I only work well under pressure. And also other people, you know, they are very over-optimistic, that you find people who may overestimate the time they have left or underestimate how long a task will truly take. And initially this leads them to delay starting when they are supposed to start doing something. And also another cause is that some of us have just a fear of failing, or we just love perfectionism. So this can also be a cause where we find ourselves doing last minute things. And sometimes it's a lack of motivation or interest. We all know that things that interest me might not interest you. And also things that interest you might not interest me. So if you like to read books, I might not like to read books. I would like to draw, right? And this is where we find ourselves excelling in something else and lurking in something else. And we tend to now wonder, okay, how come the other person is really doing well in this certain area of life and the other person is doing very badly in this aspect of life? It's because, you know, doing things at the end of the day is being motivated, feeling the motivation to do something, as well as being interested in doing something. So if you are lacking the motivation or the interest, you are likely not to do things on time. You will find yourself avoiding to do things, and then you become this person who just likes to do things last minute. There are consequences when it comes to doing things last minute, negative consequences. Consequences such as increased stress and anxiety, you know, the rush to complete a task under severe time constraints usually causes significant mental and emotional strain, which can have long-term health implications, you know, like exhaustion, insomnia, as well as burnout. And this is why I say let's avoid doing last minute things, because I'm sure you have realized. And it's funny how when you are doing something last minute and you do experience the stress, you do experience the anxiety, but you still put yourself, your body through the same cycle over and over and over again. I don't know how other people do it, but it's crazy. Because you know, when you are under pressure to complete a task, and you know very well that time is way past you, you are now behind time, there is something that usually happens to you mentally and emotionally where you just start feeling like you are really strained. And that is a consequence that can be brought upon doing things last minute. Another consequence is the lower quality of work, like Calvin, today's guest, mentioned that when you do last minute things, you are likely to do lower quality things compared to if you had to do it with the amount of time that you had, or had you allocated an amount of time to this particular task, the work could come out as quality. So when time is scarce, there is no opportunity for careful review, refinement, you know, deep thinking, or incorporating feedback. So this often results in errors, omissions, or band-aid solutions that compromise the final quality. You know, he gave an example of you have a project to do. So instead of waiting the last day for you to do everything at once, you can start now, start early. If you know that your project requires an introduction, you can start working on introduction today. And then you finish tomorrow, you now move on to the background, after the background. And then the other day, you now move into the context of the project or the research, right? And from there, you move to what other section is that? Yeah, it's been a while since I've done a research project. So so you can actually allocate time to these sections of your research project. Let's say you have 7 sections that you need to work on. You can allocate each of them a day. So you have plenty of time to review, to go through, to correct errors, to correct omissions. And this can actually lead to quality work. So lower quality work is a consequence of doing things last minute, because now you are just rushing, right? You don't have time anymore. You are not even going back to the work to review, to make sure that the information is correct and the information is definitely what is needed to be answered in that question. You will find yourself having low quality work. Another consequence is the lack of innovation. Creativity and complex problem solving requires time and mental space. So both of which are severely limited during a last minute scramble. If you are doing last minute things, you will find yourself not being creative where you're supposed to be creative. And also you will struggle with solving complex problems because they require time as well as a certain mental space instead of the one where you are putting yourself under pressure. You know, you will find yourself not being creative as well as being able to solve complex problems. Another consequence is strained relationships. In collaborative settings, last minute work can burden teammates or colleagues who have to adjust, cover for, or quickly review rushed work, eroding trust and morale. I have seen this. You know, in university, they like to give, group works. Is it? Yes, it's group work. They like to do it. And I've realized the reason they do that, it's also just to prepare you for the industry. Right? Because when you go out there, you are gonna work in collaborative settings. So let's say you are given a project that you need to collaborate with colleagues. Maybe it's four or five of you and you divide, each person to do this task or to work on this task. And then you compile everything that is done by each individual as the final work. So if you are a last minute person and everybody has done their part and now people must now wait for your part, and this can actually strain working relationships because now you will feel like you are a burden. Yeah, you will feel like you are a burden, to your teammates or your colleagues who now have to probably start running around to try and cover for your, sloppy work. Because maybe because you are doing things last minute, you might be bringing your teammates or your colleagues work that is not up to standard. Now they have to adjust. They have to cover for you and also, you know, quickly review and rush to try and fix your sloppy work. So it's also another consequence of doing things last minute where you find yourself having strained relationships. Especially in workspaces or at school, because I've seen it at school, where, you know, a group work is divided among, group mates. And then you'll find other people, they just completely don't do the work and they don't even inform you like earlier. So you can at least make a plan without rushing. They will just tell you that last minute that they couldn't do it. And then you find yourself now having to rush, come up with a plan to try and fix, you know, their mess. Do you think you will have a proper relationship with that person? No. The relationship is definitely going to be strained. And the next time when you are put in the same group with them, you are likely to say, no, I do not want to be put in the same group with that person. So that is the consequence, when it comes to doing things last minute. Another consequence is that there is going to be a lot of missed opportunities as well as deadlines, despite the heroic effort. Waiting until the last or the very end increases the risk of not finishing the task on time or missing the opportunity entirely. For example, let me give an example of you. You know very well that you are supposed to fly today, right? You are supposed to fly to another town or another region or another country. And then you just cancel last minute. Like, I'm not gonna fly. I can't fly. Something has come up. That could be a missed opportunity. Because you could have communicated earlier that you can't fly, you won't be able to fly, so necessary arrangements are put in place. So the next time there's an opportunity for you to fly and go somewhere and go do something, you might not be considered. So that can lead to you missing opportunities at the end of the day, doing things last minute. And also financial and professional repercussions, you know, in a professional context, last minute errors can lead to financial loss or client dissatisfaction or a damaged reputation. And we all know that as a business or as an organization, one thing you wouldn't want to find yourself in is losing money just like that, or your clients not being satisfied, or having a damaged reputation. Reputation is everything for an organization, to be honest. Reputation is everything for an organization or for a company. So if you have damaged reputation, now you are known as the organization or the company that do things last minute, that is terrible. And believe me, that can bring very, very big professional repercussions for you as a company, for you as an organization. It is 5:30, and if you just tuned in, you are listening to The Crossover right here on your number one, or rather the only talk radio station, Eagle FM. And you are listening to me, Abigail, until the hour of 6 o'clock. And the discussion is about avoiding last minute things, because I want us to go into the new week with a fresh mindset to avoid doing last minute things, because it is not conducive for us. It is not ideal for us as individuals. Now let's look at the ideal approach. So the opposite of working at the last minute involves effective time management and proactive planning, which includes breaking down large tasks, making daunting projects manageable by creating smaller immediate steps, or scheduling and prioritization, allocating appropriate time for tasks well in advance and working through them systematically, all allowing buffer time, which is building in extra time for unexpected issues, review and corrections to ensure a high quality outcome without the pressure of the clock. Right? So while last minute action sometimes feels necessary or even thrilling, it is generally a pattern of behavior that sacrifices quality and rather increases stress, and often stems from procrastination rather than genuine efficiency. There's nothing efficient about anybody doing last minute action. Honestly speaking, there's nothing efficient there. Hence this conversation that we need to move away from doing last minute things. So there is something that is called the rush factor. You know, it is a common feeling of getting an adrenaline rush. Our guest also mentioned it, or feeling a false sense of efficiency when working under pressure. So is that feeling worth the stress it causes? That is my question to you now, guys. Is that feeling worth the stress it causes? So the adrenaline rush and false sense of efficiency experienced when working under immense last minute pressure is an addictive behavioral pattern. But it is generally not worth the severe stress and negative long-term consequences it causes. Because the question I asked is that when you are in immense pressure, when you are doing things last minute, there is a feeling of anxiety, there is a feeling of stress that really takes over your system. And when I say your system, I'm talking about your emotional state, your mental state. Now we understand that it is actually an addictive behavioral pattern. It is addictive, and it actually makes sense now. Yes, it does make sense that people who have, you know, gotten used to doing things last minute so many times, they have actually a behavioral pattern that they have become addicted to. Wow. So while the rush factor can temporarily enhance focus, it comes at a steep cost to quality, health and sustained productivity. So there's also something called the adrenaline fueled illusion of efficiency. So the feeling of intense last minute focus is real, and it is a powerful driver for those who delay tasks and often called active procrastinators or deadline junkies. So there's something called the chemical boost. When a deadline is immediate, the body triggers a fight or flight stress response. And this fight or flight stress response releases hormones like adrenaline, and cortisol. So yes. I don't know why the word is not coming out, but yes, adrenaline. I don't know why it's not coming out. Okay, so adrenaline increases heart rate. It sharpens your senses and also provides a surge of energy and focus, which can mimic the effect of brain chemicals like dopamine, right? So the dopamine reward, successfully completing a large task right at the wire or achieving a momentary state of hyperfocus, provides a significant sense of accomplishment and euphoria. So this immediate, powerful reward system can become a self-reinforcing addiction, tricking the brain into believing that the pressure is the only way to perform. And then you find yourself, believing that you actually perform better last minute, right? There's nothing you can do as long as you know that you have a week in advance or you have days in advance. There's nothing you can do. You will only do anything when you know that now this is the last minute. You are going to do things, right at the wire. So it's amazing, actually. It is amazing, to learn all of these things with you guys. I hope we are all learning. Last minute. Or the behavior of doing last minute things is actually, it's an addictive behavioral pattern. So it is addictive. So people actually become addicted to doing things last minute. Wow. No wonder you guys don't stop, because I've seen it. I've lived it as well, but I decided to come out of it. I want nothing to do with it. And today's conversation is also to encourage you guys to come out of it. There is nothing good about doing last minute things. It is 23 minutes to the hour of 6 o'clock. Or before I say my lovely goodbyes to you in this first Sunday in the month of October, we will now go for a musical break. We'll come continue on the other side. And here is the sounds of Anthony Hamilton on this one titled Pray For Me. I will see you on the other side.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy. Such a dummy to let some mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so back. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool like that, just like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should have done. Should have walked away the moment that I saw her coming, but I blew it. Really blew it and lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, I need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, now, doubt it. dear God, if you're listening. Thought I was something, really something. In the end, who knew I'd end up with nothing? I was frontin', truly frontin'. Girl, I really can't be mad, I had it coming. Guess if I was half the man I know I am, I would be so good that even Oprah be jealous of you. It's like that, yeah, like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should've done. Should've walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening, did you do a thing for me? You see my baby, she done up and walked out. Did you bring her back to me? I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not poverty. But dear God, if you're listening, I'm down here dying, begging, crying. Somebody ought to pray for me. I'm making you this promise right now. If you can do this one thing for me, I'll be the man that you want. I'll be the man that you need. Church every Sunday, prayers every Monday.
Is Anthony Hamilton on this one titled The Pray For Me, bringing us exactly to 18 minutes to the hour of 6 o'clock. And let's now finish up our conversation that is with the tips on how you should avoid doing last minute things, right? So the first tip that I have here for you is to write a to-do list to set goals. Make a record of all the tasks you need to accomplish. Include short-term tasks you need to finish daily and weekly, as well as long-term goals that may take months or years to accomplish. So seeing everything written down can help you plan out what needs to be done to meet your goals. So write a list on a paper or on your phone. Do what's best for you. So if a piece of paper works for you, use a piece of paper to write down your to-do list. Or if your phone works for you like moi, well, use your phone to do that. The second strategy is to tackle your most important task for 15 minutes. Set a timer and work on a task for a designated amount of time. So instead of thinking about the total number of hours you're about to work for, just start. And to be honest, one thing I've realized is that the moment you start doing something, that's it. You will even be shocked at how much time you will spend on doing that thing you were procrastinating on doing. Tell yourself you've only got to do it for 15 minutes. So this will deal with the intimidation factor, and you will likely spend much longer than 15 minutes on your task before you stop working again. So if 15 minutes still sounds too intimidating, well, you can start with 3 or 5 minutes to warm yourself up. Once the timer goes off, take a 2 minute break, then start up on another set of 15 minutes of work. And believe me, the most important thing is to just start. Once you start, you will do your work. That's for sure. The third one is to break tasks down into smaller chunks. This was mentioned by our guest today, Calvin. Tackle things one step at a time so you don't get overwhelmed. It can be overwhelming to think about finishing a whole essay or completing a week's worth of tasks. So instead of thinking about everything you must do, like one big obstacle, break it down into tiny pieces so you will be able to get started on the smallest crumb and go forward from there. For example, instead of thinking I need to finish this essay before 10 p.m. tonight, rather tell yourself, I am going to make a short outline, fill that in, and then look for cuts. Consider trying a specific technique like Pomodoro, in which you work for 25-minute chunks and take 5-minute breaks in between. Avoid making a long, disorganized to-do list. This is just setting yourself up for failure. Instead, create subcategories like home, work, family, and fun, and try to cross off a few entries from each list every day. So similarly, avoid multitasking or working on more than one task at once, as this could make you feel overwhelmed or stressed. And also start your day with the hardest tasks. Make a plan in the morning and pick the hardest task first. So you'll be most energized in the morning once you've eaten breakfast and woken up fully. Tackle the hardest thing on your docket right then. So you will feel better once it's done, and then you can move on to a fewer easier tasks for the rest of the day. Keep in mind that this strategy isn't for everyone, but I have tried it and honestly it works. So stick to tackling your most difficult tasks whenever you feel the most motivated. So for instance, if you are a morning person, do your toughest work right after you wake up. On the other hand, if you tend to be groggy in the morning, you risk making careless errors or frustrating by going headfirst into a difficult task. And I remember when we spoke about productivity right here on the crossover, I urged you guys to always do or perform tasks, you know, at your peak time. What is the word? I think your energy peak times. So you will find that there are people who are very energetic in the mornings when they wake up. And you'll find that other people, they are energetic later in the day. That's when they actually feel like, now I can work, now I can do things. So in order for you to be productive, it's very important that you need to know what type of a person you are. Which times during the day are you on your high energy levels where you can do tasks or you can do your work? Very, very important. And another another strategy that you can use to avoid doing last minute things is to prioritize goals with set deadlines, right? So you can try to use a strategy something like the Eisenhower box. I don't know how many of us are aware of this thing that is used to prioritize, goals. So there is something that is called a Eisenhower box. We can try to do our research on it. It is used for prioritizing tasks. So it basically categorizes all you have to do in four categories. So tasks that must be done immediately, tasks that can be done later or rescheduled, tasks that can be delegated to someone else, and tasks that are not important and can be eliminated. So the strength of this strategy is that it works well with the tasks you must complete in a given day, but also on longer timescales like weeks or months. So you can also use a planner to help you schedule your time and also stay motivated. Another strategy is to pick a workspace that works for you. Help motivate yourself with a distraction-free environment where you do your work or tasks can play a big part in how motivated you feel. For example, if you are studying for a test, you know, pick a study space with limited foot traffic and plenty of space to lay out your materials, your study materials. For some, being in a new environment helps motivate them to work. Try bringing your work or task to a local library, maybe, or a coffee shop or a bookstore to feel inspired. Another strategy is to use apps to prevent online distractions. Stay focused by eliminating your ability to waste time online. If you are working on your cell phone or computer, it can be tempting to open up other apps or browsers instead of working on the task. Thankfully, there are plenty of apps out there to help block this urge, right? And also another strategy is to put your phone in a different room when you have something to do or when you're working on something. You need to put your phone away. Yes, because we all know that phones are a big distraction. Keep your phone out of reach if it's distracting you. If you know that your phone always distracts you when it's nearby you and you are busy doing things, well, it's actually best to keep it out of reach. If you can't handle being in the same space as something that's going to tempt you, address the problem by keeping it in another space or just turning it off. This also goes for other devices. You know, if you need to keep your phone on for family or work-related reasons, rather turn off all your notifications except for texts or calls. Another strategy is to listen to music without lyrics. Yes, I've heard, apparently this one works for other people. I haven't tried it except if I'm trying to fall asleep and then I play something without lyrics. It just sounds like the rain falling. Yeah, that works. So many people struggle to work and stay focused in a completely silent space. So listening to popular songs can actually have you singing along, and this can derail you from completing your task. So rather go for, you know, white noise, nature sounds, or instrumental music to help you stay on your task. And also promise yourself a reward. Sometimes what I do, if I don't want to do last minute things, I promise to reward myself once I complete something on time. Very important. Tell yourself that when you complete what you need to complete, you'll get to celebrate with one of your favorite things. This anticipation can be used to push yourself through the pain, and it really works. Try rewarding yourself with a meal at your favorite restaurant, or seeing a movie with a friend, or buying yourself something you've always wanted. For me, it's usually a meal. Food. I love food. So obviously the reward in most cases for me is food. It's really something that I always wanted. It's always food. And also remember to be careful not to over reward yourself. Stick with small end of the day rewards and save big celebrations for when you accomplish something tremendous. So it's very important that you reward yourself. Tell yourself, once I finish doing this project or once I meet this deadline on time, I am going to reward myself. And also give yourself a pep talk for motivation. I don't know how many of us do that, especially like today, it's a Sunday. And you know, you might have a very busy week coming up. So to avoid doing last minute things, just try to have a pep talk, to try and motivate yourself. Sometimes self-talking is a great way to calm yourself down and get focused. So using positive self-talk can even help you meet your goals. So talk to yourself. You can talk to yourself using your name. Tell yourself, Abigail, you can and you will do this. Self-talk by saying something like, I know this week is going to be very hard and you are already tired for the week. Tell yourself you have done this before and you have actually moved past this before. So you can do it and you will do it. So you can also ask yourself questions like, okay, why are you nervous about this? You know you can handle it. You have been nervous before and you have handled whatever came your way. So self-talk out loud if you can. It's very important. It also works in your head. If you are in a public space, you can also have a conversation in your head. But I've realized having conversations in your head in most cases is that you will find yourself mumbling and then there's a whole stranger who is looking at you. And then you now feel embarrassed like, okay, do they think I'm cuckoos or what? You are just merely having a conversation and it's actually, you know, something that we are urged to do. So in a nutshell, those are a few things you can try to implement in your daily life to try and avoid doing last minute things. Because one thing that we have found out today is that last minute things leads to nothing but anxiety and stress. And also, final work is usually low quality because you are just rushing. You are not putting your time going through fixing the errors, you know, fixing the omissions and all that. You are just rushing to complete the task. So let's go into the new week, avoiding doing things the last minute because there can be a lot of negative implications that comes from that. It could be financial loss. It could be, you know, reputational damage. All those things, it's things we do not want for ourselves. And also, it can also lead to strained relationships. If you are given group work, whether it's at work or just in your community, and you are somebody who likes to do things last minute, and your teammates are people who don't do things last minute, that can actually lead to a strained relationship. So let's avoid doing things last minute. Let's start allocating time to our tasks. And also break down your tasks, guys. Don't give yourself big things to do when you know very well you are not going to be able to do those things. So give yourself time, break things down into smaller, manageable tasks, and also plan ahead. It's very important to always plan. Today is a Sunday. If you have things to do in the coming week, do plan ahead. And this is where I have to say my goodbyes to you. I have to love you and leave you. I will see you, that is, next Sunday. Let's see the date for next Sunday. So it's going to be the 12th of October. That's when I will see you. Leaving you with the sounds of Jabu Kanyile on this one titled Sponky Ponky. From me, Abigail, it is adios. Have a productive week ahead of you.
When life gives you an unexpected experience.
How must I afford a new phone now?
Take control with Express Credit. Get reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars. Repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or call 90,000.
I'm gonna make you mine. la pelantani.